Well, babe, you're officially a mom.
And you're officially a dad.
So my wife, Angela, is definitely my favorite blogger and YouTuber extraordinaire. And she's a pretty amazing wife, I must add.
And my guess is that a lot of you may have seen my husband, Matt, on TV or in the movies Wyatt from Timeless, Liam from 90210, anyone? Chicago from Pitch Perfect 3. I mean, he's bringing the sexy.
All right. So if you guys didn't know, Angela and I created a podcast called Hello Bump to chronicle our journey as expecting first-time parents.
We really just started it for something for us to look back on, but we ended up really loving our weekly chat.
Yeah, so much so that we couldn't stop there. I mean, now is the fun part, right? Now is the payoff for the 9 months of pregnancy. Now is where our life begins.
We have a brand new beautiful baby girl, and we are so in love.
And we want you guys to come on this new journey with us of figuring out, frankly, how to raise this little thing.
We know it's going to be tough at times, but we also know the rewards are great.
We're going to be chatting week to week about the joys and the struggles of learning how to do this parenting thing.
I'm pretty sure we're going to mess up a lot.
But from every mistake comes a lesson that we can pass on to you. So join us in this wild ride as we undertake our newest challenge, parenthood.
Hello, baby.
I still love that little cry.
I know, it's the best.
At the end of the intro there. I miss it.
You miss, why? She still sounds like that, I think. I mean, she just got upset the other night and I was like, man, she still sounds like a freshie.
You think she sounds like that?
Yeah.
I think she sounds a little different.
I don't know. I think she sounds pretty similar to that.
I also miss it because I've got a hair, something in my mouth here. I also miss it because I feel like we don't get her to laugh as much anymore.
No, she's definitely a harder laugh. She makes us work for it.
Yeah.
But then other times she'll be like super giggly.
I mean, on average, I think that she's not as much.
She's going to make us work for it.
Yep. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Hello, Baby. Episode number 45. This is our second episode of the new year in 2019.
So is this like season two of Hello Baby? Is that how that works?
I've been calling everything season two. I mean, if you even care to...
Wouldn't it be season one of Hello Bump and then season one of Hello Baby and then season two of Hello Baby? Isn't that how that goes? Because it's a new year?
Hello Bump was season one. Hello Baby was season two.
Okay.
No, we're not on the year system here, Angela.
Okay.
We do what we want.
Okay. Got it.
We don't abide by dates.
Hmm.
Hey, what was I hearing the other day about dates? I was watching a documentary about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that fact? Like the fact was,
so whether you believe in Jesus or not, the world as we know it believed in him because that's when time has been established as AD or BC. But Confucius?
Confucius?
What's his name?
He didn't do the calendar.
I thought that was who it did. Anyways, whoever did the calendar mismarked the dates, and we are actually about 5 years behind where we're supposed to be. So this year's technically supposed to be 2024, according to this documentary.
No, I don't think that was right.
Yes, I do know. I know
well,
that's
number,
right.
Number one. They did not count the year zero.
Yes.
They just jumped into one. So right there, we missed a full year.
Yes.
On the new calendar.
Yes, but he had miscalculated when counting back is what they said, because it had something to do with the full moons. And so they if their numbers were accurate in this documentary, he was approximately 5 years off.
Right. So I don't think it was five, but you're sort of right. I think it was like three or four. But what we're saying, basically, is that it could be 2022?
Or 22, or 23,
something like
it
that.
It just depends, yeah.
Realistically, time-wise?
Yeah.
Okay.
We need to go back and finish that documentary. It was really interesting.
We do. It was a documentary about the three wise men.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many things about the three wise men that we all think we know,
but
we don't know.
Do you remember the
MTV show Diary? You think you know, but you have no idea.
Well, it doesn't even say that there were three of them, right? It just said that there were three gifts.
There were three gifts, so that's why they assume.
Yeah, but there's a documentary on YouTube. We looked it up, and we were watching. It's really bad quality, just so that you know. But it was like chock full of like really cool tidbits and facts. So we enjoyed the little bit that we got to see of it.
Yeah. Now that that had nothing to do with our
babies,
Hello Baby podcast, parenting, let me steer you back and tell you what you found here and what you're listening to. This is Hello Baby podcast. My name is Matt Lanter. My wife next to me, her name is Angela. We've got a one-year-old and her name is McKinley. So like I've said before, you know, we're pretty much experts on everything one-year-olds now.
Yeah.
And so we have this podcast and we're going to fill you full of information about more than just the three wise men or the current calendar. So without further ado, should we just get rolling on this episode?
Yes.
Let's do it. All right, I'm really excited because today we've got one of my favorite sponsors back on the podcast. It's ButcherBox. Angela, how much do we love the meat?
We love it.
From ButcherBox. You can choose from curated boxes, including mix of high-quality beef, chicken, and pork, or customize your own box. This meat that they send you is 100% grass-fed and finished. It's free-range organic chicken, heritage breed pork, and now announcing a brand new protein, wild Alaskan salmon. In this family, we love us some salmon. That is for sure. I cannot wait to try the salmon from ButcherBox.
I can't either. Their meats are just such high quality. So
it's harvested from Bristol Bay, Alaska. It's unlike any salmon you're going to find in the stores. And the red color means that the salmon is fresh and nutrient rich as it possibly gets. All their meats are antibiotic, hormone free. It's just amazing, amazing high quality meat. And the taste, oh my gosh, these burgers that we made were incredible. So soft. So comes from humanely raised open pastures. And again, never fed antibiotics, hormones, or fatty fillers. And now, for $20 off your first box and 2 pounds of free salmon, go to butcherbox.com/hellobaby and enter code HELLOBABY. Again, that's $20 off your first box and 2 pounds of free salmon. Go to butcherbox.com/hellobaby and enter code HELLOBABY. Alrighty then. So we've been dealing with some stuff this week, huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
We've been dealing with a little bit of a sick house.
Yeah, and I had an allergic reaction, so that was fun.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't even thinking about that, but yeah. So first of all, let's go ahead and say it. Angela got some eyelashes put on.
Where?
Some
lash extensions. No, I've had them on. I just had them filled. And I had a total allergic meltdown.
And you did this last time.
Yes.
That you got these applied.
Yes. But my technician that does my lashes and I talked about it, and we went about it completely different this time. Tried a different everything. And yesterday was pretty bad, but then today it's not been bad at all. So overall, my reaction this time was not as bad as the last time.
Her reaction is her freaking face swelled up like a balloon. Her eyes swelled up. She's allergic to the glue or something that they used to put the lashes on. Yeah. She did it last time. It took like 2 or 3 days for her eyes
today
to go down.
This time it was only one day, so it was not that bad.
Well, today is your second day or third day now?
Today's second day.
Today's the second day, and you still felt like you could not do YouTube videos today because you were too swelled.
Well, don't look at me, though. I look like I'm back to normal to me.
Yeah, now you do, but you know, we're talking like what, 12, 13 hours after we got up.
I know.
So Angela's been dealing with that. The baby has been dealing with some diarrhea,
and
we don't know what it's from.
Diaper rash. Which I don't, so the diaper rash came before the diarrhea, so it wasn't
from the poo-poo.
Yeah, from the deuce.
But she's also, we don't know if she's got like a little bit of like a yeast infection thing happening.
No,
or,
I think she's getting a tooth.
Well, but she's had some spots on her, which includes eczema on her back and everything, which the doctor's already seen and told us it was no big deal, really.
Mm-hmm. But she had the rash started developing first on her leg, on her inner thigh. Like, not like where the diaper rubs. Did you ever see that, by the way? It was like midway down her thigh is where we first saw the rash. My mom and I noticed it first. And then it started creeping in all of the other crevices is where we saw it.
Yeah, I just feel bad because we don't, it's so sad. You don't know if it hurts, like if it itches,
if it's bothering
burns,
her.
Like, yeah, and you don't know what to do for it. And I just feel terrible. But we've obviously kept a close eye on it. We've been using all sorts of things, from the Young Living essential oil diaper cream to Desitin to some prescription medication that the doctor had given us.
But you can only use that twice a day. And that's for yeast. So you can't use that on our little hiney.
For weeks prior.
I unfortunately think she's going to be the type of girl that's just going to be prone to yeast infections like me. Because this is the second time that we've noticed it going that direction, unfortunately.
Well, I think she's also got sensitive skin like me.
Yes.
I've just got plain old sensitive skin.
Yeah, so, you've got really sensitive skin. I don't, but you do. Which is crazy that I'm having this reaction, actually, because this is something that would happen to you, not me.
It's scary, Angela. That's your eyes. Like, it's not like like your thumb is swelling up. It's like your eyes are swelling.
I know, and I'm just letting it roll off my back. I'm like, man, it wasn't that bad this time. I can do it again.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's always scary when, like, stuff goes on with your eyes. Whenever I'm filming and, like, oh, there's sand blowing up in front of my face, like, I always kind of take that serious because you only have, like, one set. You know what I mean?
I know. That's another thing, actually, that we've done is we went and saw an eye specialist for McKinley as well.
Ah, we did.
Yeah.
We did.
That was a whole lot of not fun. It was horrible, actually. So my mom has a genetic, I believe it's, well, I know it's genetic, but she has a disease called amblyopia. And what that is basically the medical term for a lazy eye.
Is that a country?
Sounds like it, doesn't it? But it is basically, you know, when you see a child out and they've got a patch on and they're really little, it's most likely amblyopia, where they're patching the good eye and strengthening the bad eye by only allowing them to look out of the bad eye. And had they caught that with my mom before the age of four, they would have been able to correct it, but they didn't catch it with her till, was it third grade, did she say, or second grade? It was like pretty,
I don't know.
It was pretty progressed. And so she's blind out of one eye because of that. And so from the very beginning, we knew that we needed to keep an eye on Kenny girl because it is genetic a lot of times. And I believe that it skips a generation, I think. So we've had it on the books for a long time to go to the specialist here in LA. And leading up to that, actually, I've had a couple of people reach out to me on Instagram telling me that Kenny's one eye looks like it's crossing over a little bit. So it was just, it just kind of felt like, okay, well, this timing's good because we can, you know, just rest make ourselves feel better about it, basically. So we went to the doctor, waited like an hour and a half to be seen, which that's always fun with a one-year-old at nap time.
Yeah, she was a little fussy that day. And then they put these drops in her eyes and then they
dilated her pupils.
They dilated her pupils, and I know it stung that poor baby.
That was awful. I had to hold her down. You had to hold her down. And then they sent us back out to the waiting room while she's like dilating.
I will say, I'm not going to name his name, but that doctor didn't impress me with the kindness.
No, he wasn't. He was not.
He was almost annoyed that she was like restless and she's a baby. I mean,
she's one. He was not warm. He was not understanding. The girl at the front desk was pretty terrible too. So it was just a bad experience all around. Yeah. And we have to go back in 6 months, but I might ask our pediatrician if we can see somebody else instead, because it was just not a good experience.
Well, bottom line is, we've had some people comment on photos that we've posted of McKinley, and we've even had some family members ask us about it. And we've seen this to a degree. Every now and then, we'll see a photo of her where it looks like possibly one eye is crossing in. And I think it changes depending on the angle of the photo about which eye it is.
Yeah.
Which is another reason.
It kind of took us a while to figure that out, though.
Which is another reason why I don't think it's anything. And before I even go any further, the doctor already confirmed there's nothing wrong. That it.
She's got like what did he call it? A shallow depth of her bridge of her
it's
nose?
It's something that when kids or babies are developing, the bridge of their nose in the shape of their face is still developing. And he said it's not uncommon. It actually has a name. I just don't remember the name. Matter of fact, he showed us a picture that was like very severe. And he said, so with this picture, this kid's eyes looked completely crossed. And he said, they're actually not. The eyes are actually straight. It's the developing face that is making it look like that. And he assured us that's what was going on. And her eyes looked healthy. he looked, you know, inside of them and all that. Cause I know other people have, and I've heard this before, when you take a flash photo and like the reflection is white in someone's eye as opposed to red, like it normally is, that means possibly that you could have a tumor or something going on inside.
We've had people reach out to us about that too, because of like Insta stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he, you know, checked her eye health. Everything was great.
She's not farsighted. He confirmed that, which is interesting because you are farsighted, I believe. Wait, does farsighted mean that you can see far away or you can't see far away?
I don't know.
I can never get that straight. I can't see up close, but I have better than perfect vision far away. But you're opposite.
Yeah, I don't see great far away.
But we both have astigmatism.
Right, right. But mine's not bad at all. It's just like if I'm driving at night and to read far off road signs. Yeah, yours isn't bad at all.
Mine technically isn't bad either, though. I mean, I can read just fine without glasses. It just takes the strain off my eyes to have my glasses on. That's all it is.
Anyhow, to wrap that story up, everything looks good.
Yeah, everything was perfect. We go back in 6 months, get it confirmed.
He said if we have other sketchy photos, we can send them in and he can look at them. But we go back in 6 months for a checkup just to see. And other than that, that was it. It was... all those little tiny glasses in all those cases. You know, you go to the eye doctor and you see glasses like that you can pick out, but they were all like tiny versions. Mm-hmm. They were all like baby versions.
They were.
It's kind of cute.
Yeah. But that was a big check off of our list because it was something that we just knew that we needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, though, it's the 1 year appointment.
Shots. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, hey, last time she didn't even flinch, so.
She didn't. She didn't.
Might not be a bad thing. Anyway, back to then.
I wanted to talk about shots really quickly.
Okay.
There's been a lot of like bad press, I guess, around the flu shot this year. Have you been seeing it at all?
No.
Yeah.
Like for adults or babies specifically?
I've seen kids. I've not seen anything about adults. I've seen kids.
Okay.
We already did shot one of the flu shot for her, and I actually had people reaching
Any
out to
me. Any press is good press.
No, I had people reaching out to me on Insta stories, like shaming me for giving her a flu shot, which is perfectly on topic.
Conveniently, what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know. I wanted to just briefly touch on the flu shot topic that parents out there, if it's not right for your kid to give him the flu shot, don't give it to him. And if it is, then do it. You do what you got to do and you do what makes you feel best. But quit shaming people for it.
Well, okay. Well, that's what we're about to get into.
I know, but this is specifically on the flu shot itself because you and I butt heads about the flu shot all the time.
Well, the argument is just like, is that the best thing to do? And I don't think anyone really knows. I mean, doctors argue, yes. I'm on board with like me getting a flu shot now.
Well, it took me years to agree to it. It took me getting pregnant for you to get a flu shot and be okay with it.
Yeah, and getting the Tdap
having
and
a newborn.
All that stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, so, well, considering that you brought up shaming.
Yeah.
Should we get into today's episode?
And
what we're going to talk about?
Yep.
Hold on. But before we do, I feel like there was something else that I was going to bring up. Oh, real quickly. We should have said this before, but we'll just rewind. I saw an article that said the new California governor proposes 6 months of partially paid parental leave. 6 months.
That is crazy. Great.
Do you know what it is right now? 6 weeks.
Is it 6 weeks? Because when I was at Allstate, it was 12 weeks.
That must be an Allstate thing.
You know what? No, it was 6 weeks paid, and then you could do FMLA after that, I think, which was short-term disability. So you could pack on your vacation, because we got so much vacation time. Do you remember how much vacation time I got?
Yeah, you had a lot there.
I had so much vacation time. And so they let you put that at the end of the 6 weeks, and then some of it was unpaid, but you got a total of 12 weeks. Partially paid.
So this is six months of partially paid leave.
6 weeks is awful. That's awful.
Yeah, it's not enough.
Your milk isn't even like fully established, you know?
But following the birth or adoption. So that's nice. He said it's a developmental necessity and we're committed to this, which I thought was really interesting. But then it got me thinking, what are the paid vacations for birth around the world? And it's like, it's really crazy.
It's like really Sweden's sad. Crazy. I know that. And Canada's pretty, like, has a great one, a great policy too, I believe.
So the United States, they're notorious.
It's the worst.
Yeah,
the worst.
For having not much. But he's trying to put it into law this year, actually. And the policy would not extend to a single parent. Instead, it would be like two caretakers would be permitted to split the time. I guess 3 and 3.
Wait, so one person can't get 6 months. It's only got to be 3 and 3?
I think so.
Oh, that's stupid.
I think so.
That's not, that's the, you shouldn't be able to dictate, the state shouldn't be able to dictate that. It should be what it is. Don't you think?
Here's what's even worse though. It says only 3 states, California, Rhode Island, and New Jersey, even currently offer paid family or medical leave. No other states do?
What?
I don't know.
Does it go by the corporation? Is that why?
I don't know. Anyhow, this got me thinking, and I Googled.
This is a hot topic.
You know what? This probably could be its own episode.
It really could be.
But anyway, and so I'll keep this quick because I know we were going to get onto the mom shaming thing as our kind of main story that we're covering. But I started Googling this stuff. And let me just go ahead and what is that journalism term that Jason uses when he said, oh, bury the lead or something? Or, I don't know. Anyhow, Bulgaria. Bulgaria is saying that it gets almost 60 weeks of paid maternity leave.
That's crazy. That's over a year. So that's
under 59 weeks of paid leave. Man. That's over a year.
It should be. It really should be that way.
Let's see. It says Greece, 40 weeks. The UK. Well, now the graph says something different. It says mothers in the UK get a whole year, 52 weeks of maternity leave. Okay, now that's just maternity leave. I suppose that this other graph
that's
is showing paid.
That's not necessarily paid, yeah.
Right. 39 of those 52 weeks in the UK are partially paid.
I wonder what partially paid means. Like, what is partially? Like, is it
like
50% pay?
Yeah,
or
something
what is
like that. The amount women receive over that period works out to just about 12 fully paid weeks. So they can take the time without repercussion, I suppose. Which
still 12 fully paid weeks is great.
It's good. It's good. And then just like, you know, without having to face consequence of being fired, you know, having almost a year is
it's just such
really
a
awesome.
Shame that we live in a society where, you know, and if you can't be a mother and work and like that they'll hold your job for you when you're off having a baby if you want to be, you know, be with your child the first year. It's just
right.
It's sad.
It actually says Sweden ranks low in
really?
Terms of number.
Sweden was high for some
paid
reason.
Maternity leave.
Is it allows, Switzerland that's high?
I don't know. Just under 13 weeks. Wait. But it's far more generous when other types of leave for mothers are factored in, nearly 56. So maybe you're right where there's something there. Anyhow, it looks like
that the US is just the worst.
Has some work to do.
It's the armpit of the world.
Has some work to do, but it sounds like Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, is trying.
Yeah, but I don't like that whole you can't be a single parent. Like
Well, look, as I see it, 3 months is better than you know.
But they're saying that you can't be a single parent and take advantage of this policy is what it was saying, right? The single parents exempt.
You can do, I guess, 3 months. Whereas, I don't know the details. I thought it was.
Would you even want to take 3 months off of work?
Of my work?
Of work, I could go back to work and be alone with her all day every day.
If it was paid, yeah.
When she's a freshie, though.
I mean, I think so.
That's stressful, man.
It's stressful, but you use that time as a bonding time. I mean, that's the whole basis for it all is that it's a bonding time.
Totally.
And that parent, the parent needs it to bond with the baby and the baby needs it to bond with the parent.
That would not apply to the acting industry in any capacity.
You know what? I don't even know.
No, there's no way.
Now, what I can tell you from my experience is what happened for me is there's really no.
You got one day off.
Yeah, I had one day.
You got one day off.
Now, look, don't take this as a complaint because I feel like my writers and producers were generous in what they tried to do.
Have anything to do with your writers or producers. That's how it would be on any show. No, but that's how it would be on any show.
Oh, right. I mean, but see,
across the board, that's just the nature of the industry.
I just don't know because if you're, you know, a lead on a show and you're a female or male or whatever. What happens to the show? Does it just shut down for 6 weeks, 12 weeks? I mean, and then you've got millions and millions and millions of people like saying, oh, where's my show? Because one of the actors had a baby. I don't know. It's a weird position to be,
it is.
To be in, right?
Yeah.
So what happened with me is that, of course, the writers and producers of my show Timeless, they knew, you know, we were having a baby and they were all very excited about it. They're all family people themselves. And they tried to write the episode. It was like, honestly, episode number 12 of the first season. It's an episode where I did not time travel with the team. And what people probably don't know is because that was done on purpose because, wait, am I right about that?
Yeah. But it got all screwed up.
Well, it did. It did. But no, the second season, of course. No, second season.
It was second season. Yes. Yes.
Might have been like the third or fourth episode. I don't remember.
They planned it for the week that I was due is what they did.
I know. I was getting to that. But I was trying to remember which episode. But either way.
It was like episode.
I didn't travel with the time team. And I went and I found my.
It was like episode 3 of season 2, I think it was.
My dead wife.
Yeah.
And so I only had a few scenes in that episode or a few days that I worked, I should say. Maybe it kind of seemed like I had a good amount of scenes, but I got to like bang them out in like 1 or 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so that happened. They planned for when Angela was supposed to give birth. And then unfortunately, she went a week earlier.
No, that's not what happened. There was a screw up and a mix up. And you actually filmed that episode way earlier because episode 2, which was NASCAR, they couldn't film it.
Oh, that's right.
And then they had to move it. And because of that, everything got screwed up.
That's right. We had to film out of order and episode number 2 was not ready to be shot yet.
Yep. So it's... in advance, they tried to do it that way. But then when it came down to it, they couldn't shoot it that way anyways.
Right. You're right. You're right. They tried to plan.
Yeah.
And then turned out they couldn't because one of the episodes was not coming together correctly. And we had to record out of order. And then because of that, I had like the day or the next day or a few days off. And then I had to go back to work one day.
Well, it's because I gave birth on a Saturday on a holiday weekend. That's why. Because I gave birth on New Year's Eve. Obviously, you were off New Year's Day, which was that Monday. Then production was off that Tuesday. Or production came back Tuesday, but then you had to go back to work on Wednesday. I don't even know what would have happened had I gone into labor like middle of the week when you were in production. Like, would you have had to leave set to come be with me and then the next day had to go back to work?
Yeah, I would have.
That's crazy.
I mean, unless they really could have shifted things around last minute, the schedule, which they might have, because they might have been planning for like, I mean, they plan for rain. Sometimes they plan for rain. It's called a cover set.
Yeah.
So we'll actually have a backup plan in case it rains when there's rain expected.
Yeah.
In the forecast. If we're outdoors. And they have cover sets. And so if it starts raining, we know we're gonna do this schedule. It's kind of like having an A and a B schedule. And if A falls through, we go to our B schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So they might have been able to do that. But bottom line is, all in all, I didn't have much time.
Yeah.
Less than a week, days that I had off. And then I had to go back to work.
Well,
14 hours a day.
One of my good girlfriend's husband was working when she gave birth to her first. And he got to be there the day of. But then they called him into work the next morning at like 7 a.m. or something. So he had to leave her at the hospital alone with the baby.
Yeah.
And she's sitting there like in tears, like, what do I do?
I mean, look, you know,
she never had a baby. Like, she didn't know what to do, and nobody was here, no family or anything, and he had to take off and go to set.
Yeah, I mean,
that's just part of it.
At the time, it's
the glamorous Hollywood life.
It seems unfair, but really, if you think about it, there are plenty of people in numerous jobs that have to do the same thing. I mean, look at soldiers and that are away, they might even get to be there for the birth.
It's true.
Or sports, you know, athletes and things that are playing games.
Do you think
and
they do that the same way with? In like the,
I think if it's an NFL star,
yeah,
and they're having a baby and the game is the next day, I think they play the game. Yeah.
What happens if like it's an NFL star and their wife is in labor during a game? Do they let them off that game? Do you think, or what happens?
I don't know. I mean, think about it. You've got, let's just say you got a big time quarterback getting paid
millions and millions and millions.
Yeah, 30 million, 35 million a game. Or I'm sorry, like a year or more, 40 million, whatever it is. You know, break it down. They're playing like roughly what, 16 games, or something like that, a season. I mean, these guys are earning like over $2 million a game sometime. So I think the organization would want their $2 million worth.
Yeah, I can see that. But it's
for that
like
3 hours.
It's very sad for that family, though, because they'll never get that moment back.
I think it is. But I guess these guys, you know, you go warm up for a few hours, play a game for about three, and then you get to go back. So I don't know.
I wonder if a lot of their wives do scheduled C-sections for that reason.
They might.
You know?
They might. Totally.
We made the shift to natural deodorant quite a while ago, and we have never looked back. That's why I'm super excited today for our sponsor, Myro Deodorant. Myro is so awesome because they deliver obsession-worthy, natural effective deodorant, and it looks as good as it smells. They make their natural deodorant with a custom blend of essential oils, which you guys know I love my essential oils. And those oils actually release over time, and they help keep you fresh. And they also have barley powder in them, and that helps to keep you dry. So here's how it works. You go on their website, you choose your scent, you choose the color of your case, you get a refresh every 3 months, and it's delivered straight to your door. It's timed for when most people run out. And then all you have to do is if you want to switch out scents, you just press pause or stop literally anytime that you want. We tried Myro here at the Lanter House and we loved it. Right, babe?
Yeah. I've got the one in the like peach colored case. It works for me. I like it. And it makes me feel good knowing there's no aluminum in it.
I know. That's like the most important part for us. So doing good and feeling good should be an everyday thing, just like deodorant. Get 50% off of your first order and get started today for just $5. Visit mymyro.com/baby and use promo code baby. Again, that's 50% off of your first order and get started today for only $5. Visit mymyro.com/baby, promo code baby.
All right. Let's shift gears here and talk.
Totally off topic.
Yeah, now that we're far into this episode.
I know.
Haven't even brought up what we're going to bring up.
I know.
So let's bring it up. You mentioned it before.
Yeah.
Mom shaming.
Yeah.
Angela came up with this.
I did because I've been like, holy crap, annihilated sometimes. And I'm like, it's not even comparable to some of the other people that I've seen just like really get their butts handed to them over the stupidest things too. It's never even something that's like worth talking about, in my opinion.
Why do you think it is that people do this?
It's not people, it's other moms.
It's, well, that's, I was going to say that. I mean, obviously the majority is other women.
It's because moms think that they are experts and nobody knows how to mom better than they do. That's what I have seen of the trolls who have come after me. But the thing that I think that everybody forgets is that you might be an expert with your child, but every kid is different. Like, and every single person, you are guilty of this, I'm guilty of this, of seeing somebody parent their child and in your own mind judging them. Whether you ever verbalize what you're thinking or not, we are all guilty of doing that. But when you take the time out of your life to like actually verbalize it, just to like tear another person down, it's just like, good night. Get a life.
Yeah. Well, I think there's, and we'll talk about some stuff here, but I think there's different instances of it. There's some where they're just doing it to be mean, nasty. I would say the majority of mom shaming comes when they think the person, you know, who provides the quote insight, they think they're giving a tip. Or they think they're...
No, there's a difference in somebody being polite and then somebody just totally shaming you.
Well, I think what I'm saying is that even when they're shaming you, they're coming from a place of, that's not good for your child.
Yes.
I'm saying this because
yes.
I want best for your child too.
Yes. Because I want to just quickly declare for a second that the people who have reached out to us to point out something that they have noticed with McKinley or something that I've done wrong or whatever, and they've done it in a completely sweet way, I appreciate that. And I don't take offense to that at all. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about the people who like go out of their way to just like say something very nasty. You know what I mean? That's what I'm talking about with mom shaming.
Yeah. There's also classic cases of people kind of just overstepping boundaries and really mom shaming over things that don't need to be mom shamed about. We keep using this term mom shaming, and obviously I'm assuming that pretty much everyone knows what we're talking about. That's when
you shame a mom.
You shame a mom for doing mom stuff and you think they're doing it wrong or the wrong way or anything. So you've experienced it. What are some examples that you've experienced? Can you remember any off the top of your head? I mean, I know you've experienced a lot, and some are probably a lot more casual and you might not even remember.
Yeah. Some of them I don't remember, I'm sure. And again, I'm not talking about when people reach out to be, you know,
constructive criticism.
Yeah. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about, like, for instance, I posted a, it was actually a sponsored post about, for Playtex for the baby bottles. Do you remember that?
Okay.
And it was in it. I was, first of all, I don't ever endorse a product unless we actually, you know, use it. And I was pumping milk every night and giving her a bottle full of my breast milk at night. And I don't know if it was the hashtags that brought the people out, but like Breastfeeders Anonymous, like, came out of the woodwork and came after. Oh my gosh, they came after me. Like, they annihilated me. How dare I pump my milk and give my milk to my daughter in a bottle? And how dare I give her that much? And why would I give that kind of, like, advice to do that? It's bad for the baby. It's bad for the mother. It's going to cause SIDS. When they said SIDS, that was a trigger word for me. Like, you don't, like, that, I had had enough. And I started blocking people right and left. And you got, and that's not, like, you tell me all the time, like, don't block people. But I can't. I have a 2-strike rule on my social media, on my blog and YouTube. You say something mean once. Okay, I'm going to delete it, and because I just don't have any time for that. Say it twice and I remember it, you're gone. Like, that's just how it is. Like, I don't want people to sit there, because then everybody who does follow me, who does, you know, enjoy what we do, they then feel the need to defend us.
Yeah.
And then it becomes this big, ugly brawl. And I don't want that.
As much as you don't want people saying mean things to you, you also, your Instagram, your blog, you know, your Gorgeous Girls community is a place of,
it's so positive.
Of just that, like I said, it's a community where people can comment and write and read what other people. So it's a platform.
Yeah.
And you don't want negativity.
No.
In your platforms that you are facilitating and in charge of. So that's kind of why you delete things too.
But don't you think that there's just, when you log on to the internet, aren't you just overwhelmed with the negativity of it all?
I'm so close to unfollowing a lot of people over political tweets.
Well, I mean, yes, politics is the number one thing that is negative that you see, but just in general.
For sure.
Like, people just getting on and, like,
it always has been.
Just, like, negative Nancys.
Well, sure. I mean, it always has been. That's why the whole classic, like, oh, you're just a troll in your mom's basement thing, you know?
Well, the majority of trolls are 11-year-olds in their mom's basements, let's be honest. But
why are they living in the basement at 11 years old?
I'm just saying. I was just joking. But I just want my platforms, my accounts to just be a positive place. And I just, if y'all, you know, like, if anybody wants to come and, like, put some negativity on my posts, like, take it somewhere else.
Is it just human nature to, like, say mean things?
I have a question for you. Have you ever once, and, like, be totally transparent here, have you ever once commented to somebody something negative in any capacity on any social platform? Like, not joking, like, truly negative, ever? Because I have never done that.
No, I've never done that.
I don't even have a desire to.
Unless I was attacked for something. Which,
no, I'm saying you initiating.
Oh, gosh, no. Why would I have
the... Like, even like on your personal stuff, like...
No. I don't have the time for that. I don't feel like I want to waste.
Doesn't that feel like wasted effort, though?
Well, for sure. But, like, obviously, we're not the type of people that are going to do that. But there are obviously plenty of people out there that will. So, I don't know. It's like, why ask me that question? Because I'm not the one doing it. But I don't know. Unless I see something where, like, you know, some dad is, like, hanging their kid over a pit of rattlesnakes with, like, one toe, then I might be like, dude, what are you doing? But that's the thing. Maybe these people feel so convicted that they must say something to you.
Maybe.
You know, because in their heart, they feel so convicted, they need to share.
If the worst thing in the world that is convicting your heart is that a mother is giving their child breast milk in a bottle, like what?
Do you remember when we went to that breastfeeding class with the lactation consultant and all that? She talked about how some of these breastfeeding mom groups are like crazy.
Yeah.
Like crazy, crazy intense and and like, you know, don't piss them off and all that.
Like just save my time and don't go to them, basically.
Don't go to them. Don't listen to them. Don't join them because it's just too much. And if you're part of one of those, you know, and you have a good intention, like just be careful what others in your group or things that you might be saying, because especially to new moms who, you know, hormones are all over the place in the first couple of months anyway. Like, just relax.
But like the weird thing is like, why come after me? I exclusively breastfed her. She never had formula, not once.
Because you can't make all these people happy. You do one little thing that they feel is detrimental to her development and they just have to say something and it has to be negative.
Yeah. Yeah. But overall, honestly, the amount of mom shaming that I've got has been just
minimal.
Minimal. Like, I just have the best followers, the best. And the ones that do come out and say something nasty, 9 times out of 10, they're not even following me.
Yeah.
They like find me somehow. Maybe I'm on the Discover page.
Right.
I don't know. Like, how does that, I don't even get how that happens.
Yeah.
But like, honestly, I have the best community and I'm so thankful for that because like they reach out to me, like just yesterday with my eyes being swollen, like they reach out to me and give me helpful tips of what I could do.
Yeah.
The best.
Well, I Googled mom shaming, like famous cases of mom shaming. And of course, celebrity mom shaming came up because it's the mom shaming that we all see.
I've seen so many examples of it and just in my friends who have like an established following.
So this is on InStyle.com and there's like 24 cases of mom shaming. I won't necessarily go through them all, but the breastfeeding thing is on probably 4 or 5 of them, which I sort of understand, but I should say that I understood the, not the shaming aspect of it and the actually vocalizing it, but just like the, why do you have to post that picture?
Like showing breastfeeding?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Which, and I know that I've actually posted a picture of you before, you know, nothing.
Mine was very modest.
Well, though. Sure. No, of course.
I wasn't showing anything.
Of course. I do think people post these things too. Well, let me just, I posted that picture of you because you were doing your makeup. You were getting ready to go to a meeting. You were feeding McKinley. And I just thought in that moment, you know, you're doing it all. Like you're being the super mom here. And so I took that photo and I did post it up. But there certainly are other, especially celebrities and people that post breastfeeding pictures that just feel a little gratuitous. And they're just,
yeah,
because they're trying to get the likes or they're trying to get the subs or they're trying to get the attention or something.
They even do photo shoots around it.
Yeah. And right now, are we mom shaming? Are we, is that what we're doing right now?
Maybe.
Because we're judging them?
Maybe.
Well, so we won't, I guess the difference is.
So here's the thing. It's a beautiful thing.
It is. Absolutely.
And it's a miracle in and of itself that your body can provide sustenance to your child for as long as it can. It's crazy when you think about it.
It is. I guess there just feels like there is a line and maybe it's blurry and that line is in different places for different people. I think maybe people with the more liberal, and I'm not talking political, but I mean like a liberal mindset of their bodies and what modesty means and all that kind of stuff and of, you know, whatever, have a different line than other people do. So I guess that all plays into it. But
just that comfort.
There are certainly pictures out there that I've seen, you know, people posting that are like, okay, you want attention. Mm-hmm. That's what that's about.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there have been several celebrities that have done it. And the first one is Mila Kunis here, but it doesn't show the picture. So I don't even know what it was. I can't imagine that it was terribly over-sexualized. And she actually responded to it by saying, like, we sexualize the breasts so much that people just, you know, can't get past it, which, you know, what I agree and disagree, sort of. Chrissy Teigen, people were mad that she went to dinner. opted for female. Well, first of all, Chrissy Teigen, she's always getting mom shamed, blasted, because she always puts stuff out there.
Yeah.
But she went to dinner like pretty soon after her kids were born, and people were mad. So she tweeted, "I went to dinner. People are pissed. Good morning."
I got. Remember that? That's the other time I got mom shamed.
Going out to dinner?
Going out to brunch and taking McKinley in the stroller, and people like tore into me because I took her out in public.
True.
We were like sitting outside. We didn't even go into like a closed area.
Well, and if you say that, people are going to be like, you exposed her to LA smog. You exposed her to sunlight. Yeah. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, it didn't matter. Something. It didn't matter. It was just like, how about the fact that I just needed to stretch my legs?
Beyonce got mom shame pretty hard for Blue Ivy, that's her daughter's name, for not caring for her hair correctly. Matter of fact, people were so upset that she didn't comb her daughter's hair right, they started a petition on change.org called Comb Her Hair Petition.
What?
For Beyonce. And she was mom-shamed for having a glass of wine not too long after her daughter was born because people assumed that she would be
breastfeeding.
Let's see. Pink. Now, this one, I tend to agree with this one. Now, of course, I'm not going to write a comment, but I agree. Pink, she posted a photo of herself cooking dinner, and she's like frying broccoli or something in the pan. It's steaming, it's smoking, it's over the flame. She's got her hand on the frying pan, and her son is in...
I think it's a girl.
Oh, is it a girl? Okay.
I think she has a daughter, doesn't she?
No.
She's the son?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought she only had a daughter.
She's a daughter and a new son.
I didn't know that.
Her six-month-old son, Jameson, yeah. She was holding him in a carrier on her chest.
Facing outward?
Facing
the frying pan.
Facing outward, facing the frying pan. And it was on Pink's chest. And she's, you know, she's cooking.
Yeah.
I tend to agree. Like, that looks like...
You would never let me do that.
Uh-uh. I actually wouldn't. It looks... I mean, the baby's head is like...
I've actually been popped... Right? While frying something.
That's what I mean.
And it hurts.
That's what I mean. The baby's...
And my mom got it one time in her eye.
The baby's head is like a foot and a half from the frying pan, 2 feet from the frying pan. I don't know. Look, I'm not going to go comment on Pink's thing, but it's not something I would do personally. But hey. Yeah. Kim Kardashian. I mean, of course.
That's all you have to say is Kim Kardashian.
Well, she's...
Everyone knows.
Getting hate because she's
going to always get shamed for something no matter what she does.
She's posting naked selfies in the mirror and people are saying like, do you really need to do that?
Yeah, I know.
You need to set an example for your kid. Kourtney Kardashian also got mom shamed for her little four-year-old daughter was wearing like a fake lip ring or something and people got all angry about that. Oh, man. This is a stupid one. Jessica Simpson had her five-year-old daughter in a bikini in the backyard in the summertime and posted a photo and people were upset that she was sexualizing and exploiting her child and calling her parenting skills into question, even saying that social services should be called because the photo of her daughter in a bikini in the backyard. That's nuts. Come on. People are stupid.
People need to get a life, man.
They do need to get a life. Oh, I saw this photo. Which this is, I don't think for me, Victoria Beckham posted a photo of her kissing her daughter on the lips. And I don't know how old her daughter is here. I don't know. What would you say? Six?
I can't see.
6, 7 years old? But
no, I don't even think she's that old.
Okay. Well, Reese Witherspoon.
What, people were upset that they were kissing on the lips?
Yeah. This is sweet. Reese Witherspoon posted a picture of a plate. And it's a little smiley face. It's two cinnamon rolls for the eyes and a little cut apple, like a slice of apple for the little smiley face. And she said this is her son's breakfast for the morning. And people ripped her apart because it's cinnamon rolls and unhealthy. What are you getting frustrated?
That just annoys me.
Mariah Carey posted a photo of her four-year-old twins and her having a movie night. And instead of people saying, oh, that's great, it's a bonding night with mom, people notice that in the background, her boy, he's 4 years old, has a pacifier. And they were shaming her for the child's prolonged use of a pacifier and telling her that she was lazy for failing to wean him off.
I actually don't know how old you're supposed to be to not have a passy.
I don't know either.
I haven't even looked into that, but
Kristen Cavallari posted a photo of the beach of her son's back in the water, and he looks skinny in the photo. You can see some of the muscles and bones and stuff, and people were telling her that she was starving. And she said, yeah, I starve my children. Oh, man. Let's see. What else we got here? Megan Fox was mom-shamed for posting a picture of her five-year-old boy wearing a dress, an Elsa dress from Frozen. I mean, I sort of get it, but whatever, you know, whatever floats your boat.
Yeah, but like, who's to say he wasn't playing with his cousins or friends? Is it his Elsa dress? I mean, I don't know.
I don't know.
I wouldn't even have stopped scrolling. That wouldn't even have caught my attention.
Me neither.
He's a kid.
Yeah, I wouldn't have cared.
I mean, your nephews, their favorite color, the one's favorite color when he was really little was pink. Like,
hey,
you
real,
just don't even think about it.
Real men wear pink. Bubba Watson has a pink driver.
See? There you go.
Hillary Duff posted a photo of herself after she dropped her kid off at school. And she had short shorts on. People were saying that she was inappropriate for that. Just all sorts of things here. Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively got shamed for having their kid strapped in the little papoose wrong, which Ryan Reynolds apologized for.
I feel
for.
Like that's pretty much the most common thing you see is that people get upset about is carriers and then the car seats.
But look.
Like the things not being right, the straps, which that's a safety thing. Like if I posted a picture of her in her car seat and someone told me that it was wrong, I would be like, thank you.
No, for sure. It's just, again, the way people do it.
Yeah.
Kelly Clarkson fed her kid Nutella for the first time and recorded it. People ripped her for that.
Why?
Because Nutella is not healthy.
It's the first time that he's ever had it.
It's not nutritious.
Then what did they say about smash cakes on the first birthday?
I mean, I don't know that anyone's saying this. Anything about the smash cake. Probably nothing. I actually did think about that. This is the first time that she would have that much sugar. And I was a little worried about that she had stomachache. Alicia Silverstone. Oh, this is gross. I don't care that she did it, but it's gross. She let when he was 10 months old, he was eating food, chewed up food from her mouth. that's gross.
Yeah, I'm not into that.
Man.
I will take a bite of something like to make it smaller and give it to her. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But
I'm not
going
to chew
food.
It up and then give it to her.
It's called bird style.
Yeah, it's birdie. Yeah.
Birdie. She also has been known to say that babies should not wear diapers. And she has also recommended the orgasmic birth experience to followers on her blog, which encourages women to enjoy labor very much. Now, I asked Angela if she'd ever heard of this orgasmic birth, and she had not.
No. And it like absolutely like blew my mind because I don't know about you guys, but who in the world could be in their right mind to think about having an orgasm while you're pushing a baby the size of a watermelon out of a hole the size of a nostril?
Really? I think it's probably a bigger hole than that.
You know what I mean? You get the picture I'm trying to paint here, but you're doing that, but then you're thinking about having an orgasm. Like that's just...
Well,
just crazy.
Yeah,
to me.
I read that article because I didn't even heard of that, and it said that some women actually do have an orgasm, and then other things were saying, well, this term is just meant also for a way to enjoy the birth process and actually find it pleasurable, mm-hmm. not even necessarily in a sexual way, but just as a way to like conquer the pain, and just I guess have a different. Spin a different positive thinking on the sensations that you're feeling and you know, try to enjoy those feelings as much as let the pain of it control you and put you in a negative place. But some women were saying that they actually did, you know, physically enjoy it and even went as far as to like, you know, self-stimulate as they're giving birth. Which is interesting.
I just never, ever, ever would have thought of that. But more importantly, did her child pee and poop all over her house?
Oh, with the no diapers? I don't know.
How does that work? Do you like...
If you don't want to give your kid a diaper, more power to you, honestly.
Do you put like
no diaper like rashes?
Puppy pee pads all over your house? Is that what you put on your floors?
I have no idea.
How does that work?
I think it'd be a great thing. I wish we could do no diaper on McKinley. She'd get rid of her rash, probably. And it probably feels so good. Golly.
So what happens when they have the runs?
Beats me.
That's foul.
Don't mom shame.
I'm not mom shaming. I'm poo shaming.
All right. Well, look, after all this mom shaming talk and hearing some cases, I do want to tell you about another article I read on Psychology Today. And it's just 10 tips for standing up to mom shaming. So if you are out there listening to this and you're experiencing this, here's some tips to help, you know, keep conflicts at bay and a way to get around the mom shaming thing. By the way, a lot of mom shaming, they're saying, does not come from strangers. It comes from your own family.
That's funny because the one time that I was actually shamed in person while I was pregnant was by a stranger who followed me into the bathroom. Remember?
Yeah.
She
told you
literally
never to wear heels when you're pregnant.
Yeah. She followed me into the bathroom, single stall, held the door open and jumped all over me for wearing heels. And they weren't even that high.
It's very weird as you described it. I wasn't in there with you, but.
No, but it was very intense. And I felt like very like.
Didn't she say something like kind of weirdly graphic? Like you're going to fall and your baby's going to die.
Yes. Yes. Because I was wearing like somewhere between 2 and 3 inch heels on my shoes at the time. I mean, I'm not talking like I was walking around in 6 inch stilettos. Yeah. But she literally followed me into the bathroom.
We were in a burger joint.
The Habit.
The Habit.
We're at The Habit.
Anyhow, what I was saying is it tends to be family members or even like a mom or a mother-in-law or something like that because they spend the most time, they see the most. Sorry, the old voice crack there.
Going through puberty.
I think
there.
So. It's late. I'm getting tired. And anyhow, so tip number one, accept the fact that being a parent who is not judged, at least in some way, is unlikely, probably. In other words, you should expect it. Expect the challenging of how you're parenting, right?
Yeah.
And you're not gonna be surprised or caught off guard, and you're gonna be able to deal with it a little better. Okay, that's tip number one. Number two, you gotta understand that judging and criticizing makes some people feel better.
Yeah. Take the focus off of me and let's put it on you. That's right. Why.
Yeah. And it says your mother, for example, may assert herself but only like subconsciously just to feel involved.
My mom would never say anything negative to me.
No, but this isn't written for you.
I know. I'm just saying.
Number three, keep ears perked for critics who dispatch information just to hear themselves talk. The know-it-alls. You got to know there's going to be know-it-alls out there.
I know. And I mean, like we all are guilty of sometimes being know-it-alls, I think, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Tip number four, mom shaming is often a cover for someone else's own insecurities or guilt about something they'd done differently.
Mm-hmm, that's good. Preach.
Preach. You know, preach. So they're trying to possibly give you advice because they
100%
because they want a do-over.
Mm-hmm. You know? I can see that.
Yeah. Tip number five, stick with your supporters. Reduce the time that you spend with those who judge you, be it family or friends. Tip number six, accept that some days you will feel as if you messed up.
So basically, these are just tips in general for how to deal with Instagram.
Well, yeah. Just
in general. And you know, negative people in general.
Yeah, I guess so. No one's perfect. Almost all parents make mistakes now and again.
Yep.
Number seven, use your sense of humor as armor against the judgment. What your butting in critics say may even become laughable in a year or two. That's true. Is it really going to matter in a year or two? You know, number eight, don't be influenced by friends whose parenting looks seamless and easy. What you see, especially online, is often a smokescreen.
Hey, what do I say about social media? Don't compare.
It's a highlight reel.
Yeah, don't compare someone else's highlight reel to your behind life. The scenes.
Yeah, it's true. Tip number nine. What you take as judgment may be just ignorance. close family members may not know your history or why, for instance, you don't breastfeed or have more children or why you discipline your children as you do. They just don't know.
Mm. I actually saw a news article the other day. A woman put up a huge banner over her bed and it basically said she had just given birth and it said, I'm not breastfeeding. Don't even ask me about it or something like that. And it turns out she was a breast cancer survivor.
Mm.
And I think the pregnancy was either a surprise or she didn't know she could get pregnant or something like that. But it was a really interesting article and it was, you know, it was just like perfect example of like, it's nobody's business.
Mm-hmm.
It's nobody's business.
Don't judge a book by its cover.
Yep.
And then tip number 10 is you know your child better than anyone else. Be confident about what you believe is best for you and your child, not what others believe.
You are your child's expert. No one else.
Right. So those are the 10 tips. And what it kind of says in summary is that it's quite amazing that in spite of what others think mothers do wrong, most children turn out quite well. And I think that's the case. Somebody was telling me, I think it was an actor. It was in the, gosh, I don't remember his name now. Really lovely guy. He actually played the Southern slave owner in the episode where we went to the Harriet Tubman episode. Do you remember that one?
I remember the episode, but I don't remember him.
He played a plantation owner, and in real life, he was a real nice guy. And we talked about parenting. And he was like, look, this is right before you gave birth.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, look, or maybe it was right after, I think. I can't remember. He said, look, the basics are if you keep your kid healthy and you love them and you keep them somewhat happy, they're going to turn out great. You right there?
No, sorry.
So anyway, that was
guys.
That was sort of his two cents and just saying to me hey, don't put the pressure on yourself to be this perfect parent because you're never going to live up to being a perfect parent. And what is a perfect parent?
Yep.
And as long as you love your kid and you're supplying them with food that they need, clothing, shelter, and love, that they're going to be A-okay and they're going to turn out to be law-abiding adults and everything's going to be all right. So anyhow, do you have anything more to add to this episode? Do you have anything to summarize or recap or?
Just be nice.
Just be nice, she
just
says.
Just be nice. Just follow Thumper's advice.
Well, and if you don't have something nice to say, don't
say
it at
all. Don't say anything at all. It's that simple.
Yep.
It's that simple.
So.
And just because it popped in your head doesn't mean it needs to be said. That's my other favorite one. I made that one up.
So all you mom shamers out there. All you mom shamers out there. Shame on you for mom shaming. Think twice before you leave a comment on somebody's Instagram. You don't know what's going on in their life.
I think that it's better to think of it like, how would you feel of that if you're reading that comment to yourself?
Also, you have to think that people interpret things differently than you're writing them. So maybe you're writing them with good intentions, without attitude, but some person might interpret the typing as something different. And we don't need that. So if you want to leave a comment, make it positive.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to say something about someone's parenting style, why don't you support them?
Yep.
Don't bash them. Anyhow, that's our little PSA for today.
That's it.
And love you guys. Glad you could tune in. And we'll be back next week with something.
With a new episode. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes, with a new episode.
All right.
So thanks for listening. And hey, go follow us on Instagram and all that stuff. Hello Baby Podcast at Angela Lanter, at Matt Lanter. And of course, subscribe to our podcast. And we love our listeners. And we'll see you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye.